Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. For the next few episodes, I really want to focus on a survey that I follow very closely every year. It's the Gallup State of the Global Workplace study or survey that comes out every year. This is the brand new one. It was just released. But I want to break this down. Instead of trying to go through the whole thing and explain it and talk about what solutions are, I really want to break it down into individual pieces. Where we're going to start is where everybody starts with some kind of a workplace survey, and that is engagement levels. Now, I know that may not be exciting to a lot of people, but I want you for just a minute, stick with me. Engagement is one of the most critical measures that you can have. Why? Because it is showing you the emotional commitment that an employee has or a group of employees have to the work, to the effort, to the team, to the organization. There is nothing more important than to understand how committed and how engaged your employees are, especially if you're in any kind of leadership position, because that engagement level is really going to be the ceiling on how much you can achieve. The higher the engagement level, the more you can achieve, the more you can innovate, the more you can do the things that you want to do. But leaders, it's incumbent upon us as leaders to figure out what that means. And I guarantee you, most of the employee engagement level numbers, actually more than 70%, are directly related to leadership impact. So there is a very, very large percentage of employee engagement numbers and measures directly related to how we show up as leaders. So let's get into this. The latest Gallup State of the Global Workplace survey for 2025 provides important insights into employee engagement. We've talked about that. That's a critical factor in organizational health and success. Employee engagement is the emotional commitment an employee has to the organization and the discretionary effort they invest in their work. Now, if you're a leader and you're listening to me right now, I want you to think about this. Even if you're not a leader, that's okay. We're all leaders, by the way. We have to lead ourselves. We lead other people in what we do every day, even if we don't have a, quote, leadership role or position. But I want you to think about something here. When we think about how much effort someone is putting out, do you think your employees are giving you everything they have? There's another question that should go along with that from the employee side is, are you as a leader worthy of me giving you everything I have? And I think that's a very fair question that we as leaders should be able to answer. And if there are gaps there, we need to fix those gaps. Well, this whole thing I'm doing is not about just explaining the Gallup workplace survey. I'm going to give you real answers, real solutions to what most of the time is just nebulous. It's just not understood very well by most people. So let's get to the heart of this issue and figure out how we can raise those employee engagement numbers, because that is truly the commitment number that an employee is willing to give us or a group of employees. So now that we know it's that important, here's the concern. Despite substantial efforts to improve workplace environments, the current global engagement levels reveal troubling stagnation. So what does that mean? Well, in the brand new just released survey, here's what we have. Engaged employees, 31%. That's down one percentage point. Now, that might not seem like a lot to you, but there is a direct correlation between engaged employees and productivity and profitability. And I'll share some of that with you later on. Not engaged employees, 52%. That's more than half of all employees are just not engaged. What does that look like? Well, you're basically going to get what's required. They're going to give you what's required, but probably not much more than that. Actively disengaged employees, 17%. That's up one percentage point. What is an actively disengaged employee? They are working against you. That's toxicity. It's bottlenecks. It's disruptions. It's drama in the workplace. It's all kinds of things that can manifest in so many different ways. 17%. Again, may not seem like a lot, but here's another stat that you should tuck away for yourself. A toxic employee impacts 80% or more of the people in an organization, including customers and clients. Think about that for a minute. If you've got an actively disengaged employee, they're going to impact a lot of people in a negative way. And that's a real problem. The study basically says that we're losing about $486 billion a year because of lack of engagement. I mean, we're basically saying 3 out of 10 employees are engaged employees. They're willing to go above and beyond. So while these numbers tell us clearly that the majority of employees worldwide remain emotionally disconnected from their roles and organizations, and by the way, the numbers I'm sharing with you today are U.S. and Canada. So this is specific to U.S. and Canada. With over 2/3 of the workforce not fully engaged, companies face significant risk to productivity, innovation, teamwork, and ultimately profitability. Well, let me share some personal insights. I cannot tell you the number of times I've started working with an organization and they pull out their most recent climate survey and they go directly to their engagement measures. Usually the binder they show me is very large with a whole lot of data in it. Sometimes I actually wonder if those survey companies sell their product by the pound. Okay, there's some sarcasm in there, but that's intended. Because, I mean, these are huge binders, right? But follow me here. Because there's something very important missing from most of those climate surveys. In every climate survey I have seen to date, and I have been doing organizational development for decades, they are heavy on data and very light on solutions. So let me share a true story with you. This is kind of funny in a way, but of course it wasn't funny in the moment. I had this happen with a new client several years ago, and they showed me their engagement numbers on their climate survey. At the end of the data, there was a note to look at Appendix C for suggestions on how to increase employee engagement. Great, right? So the CEO showing me this had this perplexed look on his face, and I couldn't figure out where that was coming from, but I held my questions. I didn't ask anything at that point. So here's what happened. He turned over to Appendix C. Here's what it said. And now this is from memory, but I think this is pretty close to verbatim. Quote, "For the health and future success of your organization, we recommend that you increase your employee engagement levels." That's it. That was the totality of what was on Appendix C. He still had that perplexed look on his face, and I just started shaking my head. Why? Because this is so typical of many of these types of surveys. And I mean, people pay a ton of money for those surveys. Now, I know they've gotten better over the years, and I know I'm kind of grouping all of this in kind of a broad brush approach here. But the reality is they still don't offer really good solutions, a true path forward. Lots of data, very few solutions. Now, over the years, I finally identified a climate survey toolbox for teams and for organizations that I use that has actionable data. And I want you to remember that term. If you ever use a survey or an assessment, you're looking for validated, actionable data. Because data by itself informs you, but it doesn't give you direction and a path forward. And that's what we want. You want real solutions. The one I use is called the Vital Signs Surveys from 6 Seconds. It measures the 5 critical success factors common to any team or organization: trust, execution, motivation, teamwork, and change. Now, change is the ability to be change embracing or change agile. Think of it as maybe more opportunity focused than problem focused. How can we accept change and move forward well? How can we navigate through change well? From a survey like this, you can create very specific KPIs that are action oriented, and that's the key. The other very important element of these tools that I like very much, they are infused with measures of emotional intelligence. Why is that important? Studies prove over and over that high-performing organizations with high engagement levels of their employees are also high in emotional intelligence. And that's something we need to remember as we start to break down the rest of this Gallup information related to engagement. Employee engagement is directly impacted by the following things. And again, this is why understanding emotional intelligence and how it plays here is really important. So here's some things that directly impact whether employee engagement is higher or lower. How much emotional intelligence a leader practices, and I use the word practices on purpose. People leave leaders, they don't leave organizations. You may have heard it as people leave managers, not companies, same thing. Number 2, psychological safety, the ability to provide feedback without fear of reprisal. Next one, trust. Is the leader consistent with what they say and do? That is the biggest mistake a leader can make in trying to build trust, is being inconsistent. You're just not going to build trust if you're inconsistent. The last one to focus on here, how much an organization is willing to invest in their employees' development and their well-being. That's a big deal. All of these have a huge emotional component in the employee's mind, in the leader's mind, everywhere. So we have to be aware of those things. The highest engagement levels in organizations today rise into the 70% and higher levels. That is what I want to see for all of my clients. And I want to see that for you too. Let's get back to Gallup's State of the Global Workplace study or survey for 2025. And let's start with understanding engagement. I'm going to go a little deeper there. Engagement goes beyond mere job satisfaction or happiness at work. It represents a deeper emotional connection and a sense of purpose that motivates employees to invest extra effort into their roles. Highly engaged employees show up committed not only to their own success, but also to the success of their team and their organization. So what is the cost of low employee engagement? Well, low engagement often manifests through the following things: increased absenteeism and higher turnover rates, poor quality of work and reduced productivity, low morale and diminished team cohesion, resistance to change, and low innovation. These symptoms create a challenging workplace climate, severely limiting organizational growth and profitability. That's the ceiling I was talking about earlier. The employee engagement numbers will give you a very clear indication of what your ceiling is for reaching your strategic goals. If you don't have very high employee engagement numbers, it's going to severely limit your ability to achieve what you want to achieve. Gallup estimates that actively disengaged employees cost companies billions of dollars every year in lost productivity. And I can guarantee that happens. I see it all the time, especially now when we have remote and hybrid workers, especially remote workers. How do you know that you're getting someone's full 40 hours if they're a remote worker? And I'm not going to dive into that today, but this is why employee engagement is so important. Because if you know you have high employee engagement levels, you have a pretty good feeling that your workers are giving that extra effort. They're giving you a full measure and even some more. But if you don't have those higher numbers, if you're in that 30 percentile or lower, that's a serious problem. Are there ways to fix it? Yes, and we're going to share those here in just a minute. I'm going to walk you through solutions because I never want to leave you with just data. That doesn't help you. Yes, it informs you, but it doesn't provide direction and a path forward. So when it comes to indicators of high engagement, so look for these things. Maybe you've never done a climate survey, but listen for these things. Do you see these consistently in your team and your organization? Strong collaboration and teamwork, willingness to go above and beyond their role and responsibilities, openness to change and innovation, positive attitudes that boost overall morale, improve customer relationships and outcomes. If you see those things consistently in your teams and organization, you probably have higher employee engagement levels. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen as often as we would like it to, but we can be intentional on changing that. Organizations with high levels of engagement experience substantial benefits, including increased productivity, higher profitability, greater customer loyalty, and reduced turnover. So the next thing I want to talk about is the role of emotional intelligence in enhancing engagement. That's when we start to get into the solutions. My good friend, Dr. Chuck Coker, and I have been working on an online course for the last year. And it took a long time to put it together, but it is a unique course called The Art of Emotionally Intelligent Leadership. Because emotionally intelligent leaders will have higher employee engagement levels. Those two things go hand in hand. Boosting engagement starts at the leadership level, and emotional intelligence is central to cultivating strong engagement. Leaders with high emotional intelligence effectively understand and manage their own emotions. They empathize with their employees. They create supportive, trust-based workplace environments. That sounds like a really good place to work, doesn't it? And it sounds like a leader worth following, doesn't it? That's what emotional intelligence can do. And it's why we put so much blood, sweat, and tears into creating that course, because both of us have a combined 75 years of organizational development experience. And what we know is at the heart of healthy teams and healthy organizations that are vital, they have tons of energy and motivation, they work well together, at the heart of that are the emotional drivers and the emotional environment that is in place because of the intentional efforts of not just the leaders, but even the team members. Emotional intelligence-focused leadership can make a huge difference. So how does that happen? Well, it happens through development processes. Leadership development can significantly enhance emotional commitment with people by using assessments like many of those that I use, emotional intelligence assessments, and team climate surveys. Leaders gain deeper insights into the emotional health of their teams, and they can proactively address issues before they escalate. Now, many times what I've seen is that, and I've taken leaders that I've worked with for years, and I've taken them through this process that I have to help develop those skills. You know what the good news is here? The good news is emotional intelligence skills and competencies are the easiest to learn and to grow and cultivate. By far. You're not going to change IQ very much. It's going to be hard to change your personality. That doesn't make a lot of sense. You are who you are. A lot of personality comes out of your DNA. So the reality is that we look for the most impactful skill set in today's workplace, and that is by far emotional intelligence. If you don't believe me, go to Harvard Business Review, go to Forbes, go to any of those very well-known publications and look at emotional intelligence and see what you find. You will find study, after article after article that just shows how impactful emotional intelligence skills are. And frankly, if you're a leader, you may be very good at your hard skills, technical skills, whatever it is that is the hard skills of what you do. But the foundation of all soft skills, communication, collaboration, leadership, motivation, all of that is emotional intelligence. So we highly recommend an ongoing practice of leadership development. When you have that kind of data, when you have a data-driven approach by using those assessments, it makes a huge difference. And leaders, it starts with you, and then you can cascade that down into the teams, which will impact the entire organization. There's another thing that we look at when we're working with leaders. How do we transform habits to accelerate engagement levels, to raise those engagement levels? Habits, both individual and organizational, play a crucial role in shaping the workplace environment and how much employee engagement there is. Utilizing assessments like the Habit Story assessment that I use, leaders can pinpoint counterproductive habits and behaviors and emotional triggers, and then they can transform those into productive habits, which are engagement-enhancing habits. So there's real science behind everything I'm saying here, and I am giving you a pathway forward here. If you are serious about increasing your leadership effectiveness and having greater success and even satisfaction, then this is the pathway to follow. First, we start with emotional intelligence. Then we look at habits and transforming those habits into the most productive habits and behaviors from a leadership perspective that we can get to. Also, coaching focused on habit transformation can effectively reduce negativity and disengagement. It's also going to help you see blind spots. One of the biggest things I can bring to people is to show them where their blind spots are. And because I'm a consultant and coach, I can do that in a way that is not threatening. It's not denigrating in any way. It's saying, hey, this is an opportunity. You can actually grow in this area. So there's a couple of other things I like to measure as well. and that's trustworthiness and coachability. Trustworthiness and coachability are vital metrics in evaluating leadership effectiveness and potential. Here's why. I bet you can understand the trustworthiness, right? That makes sense. You want to be able to build trust with people. You want for people to see you as being trustworthy. But then you may be saying, wait a minute. What about this coachability thing? Well, the reality is that coachability is all about, do you have a growth mindset or not? And right now I'm dealing with several clients who have employees that do not have a growth mindset. What does that mean? It means they've got a fixed mindset, which basically means what you see today is all you're going to get, unless we can get them into that growth mindset where they can grow their competencies, grow their capacity, and keep that cycle of growth going. So trustworthiness and coachability are very important. Trustworthy leaders cultivate environments of psychological safety, encouraging employees to express ideas freely. They take calculated risk. They innovate. These are key components of higher employee engagement. So let's kind of tie this together with some action steps. So based on years of experience in doing this leadership development, organizational consulting, and emotional intelligence coaching, here's what I can tell you. Here are some very specific action steps that you can take. Number one, develop emotionally intelligent leadership. Whether that's you, whether it's a team of leaders, whether you hope to be a leader someday, that is the best place to start. Train and coach people, leaders, using emotional intelligence frameworks to enhance empathy, self-regulation, self-awareness. Self-awareness is a huge deal, and it's the foundation of all of the other emotional intelligence competencies, because self-awareness is not just understanding your own emotions and how they impact you and being able to navigate other people's emotions and the environment that is created. It's also knowing how you're showing up for other people as a leader. Self-awareness is a big deal, and that is one of the primary competencies of emotional intelligence. And that's going to directly impact employee engagement levels. The second thing, conduct regular climate assessments. If you're a leader of a team, you can do a team vital signs. And I can show you how those KPIs can be developed. I just finished one for one of my clients, and I'm very excited about presenting to them, because there are some really good strengths, but there are some really good areas for growth and opportunity to develop. And that's good. That's not bad. Lower scores don't mean it's bad. It means, wait a minute, we can do even better if we address these things. So do those on a regular basis. We have an organizational vital signs that works as well. But please, if you're going to do a climate survey, please do your due diligence and find one that will give you actionable insights, actionable data that you can create a path forward and real KPIs from. Otherwise, you're only getting half of what you're paying for. The next thing, transform individual and organizational habits. Apply assessments like the Habit Story assessment. I have a team assessment that goes with the Habit Story. So I could do the Habit Story assessment that measures productive and counterproductives on individuals and their response patterns and their emotional states. And then I can pull that all together in a team report. And I can show the leader where are the gaps, where are the strengths, where are the opportunities. That's the kind of thing we're looking for. And I've created custom reports to go along with those to really provide a true individual development plan for people. And then invest in leadership coaching. That may sound self-serving because I'm a coach. Okay, I don't care. It's self-serving. But here's the reality. Do you know of a single professional athlete that does not have a coach? I don't. Why should we as professionals not also have a coach? I have a coach. I have somebody that helps me. I actually have several, to be honest about it. And I love those people. They are a true benefit to what I do. So I want you to think about that and don't be afraid of that. And if you're concerned about, there's so many out there and I don't know what is what or whatever, get in touch with me. And I'll be happy to walk you through what you should be looking for in a coach that will best suit your needs. I'm happy to have that conversation at no cost with people. Just send me an email at info@eqfit.org and we'll have a conversation. So let's get down to brass tacks here. What is the value and ROI of increased engagement? Investing in employees' engagement generates measurable and impactful returns. Companies with highly engaged workforces report 21% greater profitability, 17% higher productivity, and 41% lower absenteeism compared to those organizations with lower engagement levels. Ultimately, increasing employee engagement not only improves organizational outcomes, but also creates a sustainable competitive advantage. Please remember that term. The higher your employee engagement measures, the greater your competitive advantage in the marketplace. Not just competitive advantage, but sustainable competitive advantage. Leaders who prioritize emotional intelligence, who assess and enhance organizational habits, individual habits, and continuously invest in coaching and development will help their organization for the long term. These are life skills that, yes, they're professional skills too, but they're there for a lifetime. Now's the time for intentional action to shift the trajectory of the workplace from where we are today at that low 31% engagement level, which is really sad if you think about it. We want to go from stagnant to thriving. That's the goal. The benefits extend far beyond organizational performance. They positively impact employee satisfaction, innovation, collaboration, and overall workplace culture. And all of that comes down to how can we really make a difference with our employees? Because in the long run, what's really important here is the ability to lift each other up, to help each other achieve, no matter what position you're in. And through that commitment to each other, commitment to the effort, the emotional drivers, being in the right place, when your employee engagement numbers start to rise, you're going to be able to do more than you thought you could. And that's the goal behind raising employee engagement. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.